Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Well, Buffalo Bills are 6-2. Not how we thought we were going to be doing this podcast. Probably not how you thought you'd be listening to It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, but here we are. Matt Bove from Channel 7, Sal Capaccio, Bill's sideline reporter. He's just back from New York. I stayed in Buffalo this weekend. We had somebody else go from Channel 7. I don't think I missed too much, Sal. I missed a stinker of a game from the Bills. That's what I missed.
For sure. You also missed maybe, arguably Josh Allen's worst performance, or at least in quite some time. Mm-hmm. Definitely not the way we thought it would go today. I think that, you know, as much as, you know, we knew that the Jets have a pretty good defense and could do some things, this should not have been the kind of game that went the way it did. The Bills made far too many mistakes, and now they do sit at 6-2 because of those mistakes, and the Jets are right on their heels at 6-3 and have a game up in the division, and the Dolphins do too. The Bills are 0-2 in the division. Who would have thought?
No, it's weird because you look at it like in this picture of the beginning of the season. They're 8 games into the season, week 9. I don't think anybody would have thought that the two games that they lost in their first 8 would have been the Dolphins and the Jets. But their win streaks against both of those opponents now come to an end. They lost to Miami earlier in the year, obviously. They had beaten the Jets 4 straight times. It was just a weird game. It was a game that they didn't play well, especially offensively. We'll get to the defensive side a little bit too. But way too many mistakes. And it just looks like they were out of sync the entire day. Honestly, after that first play, when they took the deep shot to Stephon Diggs, after that, everything felt forced. It didn't feel like they knew what they were trying to do. It didn't feel like they could move the ball with the ease that they normally do. Everything just seems like it was a little bit more difficult. I don't exactly know who's to blame. I just know that there's a lot of people who didn't do a good enough job. And the top of that list is Josh Allen. We're not saying that Josh Allen isn't a great quarterback. I still think that Josh Allen is the best or the second best quarterback in the NFL. He had a bad day. Those happen. But it's also been a bad day and a half. I don't think that this is something that should be overly concerning, because we saw something similar last year. But if Josh Allen even plays a B game today, the Bills win. Heck, yeah, if he plays a C game, they might win.
Yeah, he didn't play even up to C. It was below that for sure. And he was very frustrated with himself after the game. He said it's hard to win when your quarterback plays like crap. And he didn't say crap. He took accountability, which we all expect him to do.
Yeah,
I don't know what he was doing on either of those interceptions, what he was looking at. I think he actually did not literally see the first interception. I can't remember who had it. I don't think he saw him. I think he thought that Dawson was going to be right there, and there was a defensive end in front of him, so he just didn't see him. And I guess it can happen, but, you know, that's kind of very rare. And then when Sauce Gardner made his pick, it was kind of the same thing. Josh kind of just threw it right to him. He didn't see him. And then the pass protection issues were pretty evident in this game. The Jets did not blitz very much, Matt, and they got a lot of pressure. That was concerning. And it forced Josh into making some quicker throws and maybe making some poor decisions. So things didn't go very well. And then inconsistent play from wide receivers, including Gabe Davis. And this is a second week in a row for that too. And it's been more than that. I mean, Gabe Davis just has not been super consistent this year. And they weren't able to get anything going outside of Stephon Diggs. In the first half, Stephon Diggs had 5 catches for 93 yards. You know what his game line was at the end?
Five catches for 93 yards.
Yeah. Wasn't even targeted in the second half other than the one play that didn't count at the end.
Yeah, I think that it is concerning that Gabe Davis hasn't been able to take the step that we all thought he was going to make, myself included. I'm at the top of that list. I have told so many people that I think Gabe Davis is an awesome athlete. He's going to be a really good wide receiver in the NFL, and I still believe that, but he has not been able to handle the workload of a number two wide receiver. That's not to say that he won't at some point this season or he won't at some point down the line, but there's been more to be desired. I mean, I went back and I watched that replay 5 or 6 times.
He should have caught it.
He probably should have made the catch. And he is getting pulled. There's no way that's ever getting called in that situation. On a 4th and 21 at the end of the game, they are not throwing a flag for defensive pass interference, even though it probably was. My bigger concern is that he put Josh Allen through that ball 69 yards in the air right into his breadbasket. And he didn't make the catch. And I think that that's one he probably makes. Same thing with Isaiah McKenzie. Where has Isaiah McKenzie been? Where has Dawson Knox been? I don't know if this is a Josh Allen thing. Maybe it's a Ken Dorsey thing. But this has been a trend. Besides Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, the rest of these weapons on offense have just been what feels like way underutilized. And that's a concern. They're 6-2. We have to remember, they're still in a really good place. But this is all big picture stuff. If they're going to win the big games, if they're going to make a run, if they're going to go to the Super Bowl, if they're going to do all these things that people want them to do, these are some things that could be concerns and kind of be hiccups along the way.
Yeah, I you bring up a lot of great points here. I think, you know, the other part is the offensive line, just not very good protection today, and that kind of broke down. So that's all has to be, you know, part and parcel with each other to go along. But Matt, I mean, it wasn't just the offense, obviously, right? It was the defense as well. So, you know, we should talk about that. But, you know, we want to stay in there. Maybe we can do the defense a little bit in the next segment if we want, but maybe kind of compartmentalize a bit of what happened. It started to me on the first drive of the game. The Bills got a gift, Matt. They got a gift on the first kickoff. The Braden Mann, the kicker, the specialist for the Jets, slips, squibs the kick. The Bills get great field position. And then they have the great throw downfield to Stephon Diggs. And then the next play, Josh throws the interception. That's where it started. The Bills did not capitalize on the very first play drive of the game when they had great opportunity. And from there, whenever that happens, I'm always thinking to myself, geez, I hope it's not going to be one of those games. And of course, it wasn't one of those games, but they didn't capitalize on that. And then they didn't capitalize on a Tyler Bass field goal that he missed later in the game. And obviously, we just talked about the end of the game and the way that went as well. So there were a few times where they just, as you said, out of sync. I think the little details that they normally do and normally get right, they just didn't have buttoned up and didn't have right. And, you know, that cost them, obviously, in this one, only to get to 17 points against the New York Jets.
I think what's the most concerning thing to me about all of this, and I don't think the sky is falling or anything like that, but these 4 interceptions that Josh has thrown in the last 6 quarters of football have been bad interceptions. These are not like hit a receiver's hand, bounce up in the air, interception, oh, whatever. These are like, where is he looking? What is he doing? And some people will say, oh, that's 2018 Josh Allen. That's 2019 Josh Allen. No. These are worse than some of the stuff we saw in 2018, 2019. I don't know if it's miscommunication. I don't know if it's just poor decision-making. Last week, I think I said on the podcast, I chalked that up to them being overly aggressive and trying to attack Jair Alexander, and it ultimately came up and it bit them in the butt. This week, I don't know what it was. The Sauce Gardner one, not a clue. There's 3 defenders and Gabe Davis, who's making a cut towards the sideline. Doesn't seem like that was the right play at all. And the first one was like, what is he looking at? And I don't know the answer. So I don't know. I can't tell you, oh, he thought Dawson Knox was going to stop and kind of come back to the ball or whatever. That's not a throw that we've seen Josh Allen make. So he does have a way of self-correcting. So I don't think that this is going to be something that turns into a trend. This is also not an outlier. He did this last year a little bit. He had a couple games in a row where the turnovers started to pile up, and then he still went scorched earth at the end of the season. So maybe it's just happening a little bit earlier. Maybe we're not giving the Jets defense enough credit. I think it's probably a combination of both. But yeah, the turnovers, the lack of chemistry and cohesion on the offense, it's something. I mean, six quarters of football, they scored 20 points. Like, that's not good enough.
Yeah, this was an uncharacteristic Bills game, blowing a 14-3 lead. Chris Brown and I were thinking, I think the only time that we can remember they blew a 10-point lead was against the Steelers on opening weekend last year. That was it. That was the last time that happened. It didn't just end and start and end with the offense. Of course, the defense had plenty of to go around some, I guess, you know, issues, if you will, in this game and reasons why the Bills were unable to win.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Sal Capaccio, Matt Bove, it's always game day in Buffalo. Matt, I mean, the Jets, not a very prolific offense, but I thought they had a very, very good game plan, and they did exactly what the Packers did last week. They ran the ball really well. By the way, Packers head coach and the Jets offensive coordinator are brothers. You think they weren't talking a little bit about what to do, the LaFleurs? And on top of that, they did a great job getting the ball out of Zach Wilson's hands. They didn't allow him to sit back there and be a sitting duck and, you know, rush him. And we talked about getting pressure on him. We talked about how poor he is at making decisions when he has pressure. In this game, there wasn't a lot of pressure because they made sure of it by getting rid of the ball quickly. And I thought the Bills didn't do a good enough job of recognizing that or getting to where they needed to, and maybe having a good enough technique on the outside to go with those RPOs and quick strike passing game.
Yeah, I think it was a good game plan from the Jets, but I also don't think that if you're trying to find, and I'm not saying that you're doing this, but I think that most people always want to try and find a side to blame, and they go, sure, oh, it was the offense, or oh, it was the defense. And I think both sides deserve a little bit of, well, I think both sides deserve some amount of blame for this.
Oh, yeah.
I point more of it to the offense, though. And I know that the Jets don't have a prolific defense, but at the end of the day, without Matt Milano, Jordan Poyer, Tre'Davious White, if you want to throw him in there, and then Greg Rousseau for a chunk of the second half, they still held the Jets to 20 points. I think most Bills fans, if they said going into this game, the Jets are going to score 20 points, you would say, okay, the Bills are going to win 30-20 or something like that. So I think the run defense is something that's a bit concerning. That being said, I'm not overly concerned with the defense, especially knowing they're getting those pieces back at some point. I'm still more concerned with the offense. That's just my opinion, though.
I'm just as concerned about the defense and the run game. They've given up. Let me just go back. I did the math a little bit earlier tonight. We're recording, by the way, on Sunday night on the team plane. I was doing math. Never want to do that when you're flying. It's just, it was already a long day. They've given up 382 rushing yards over their last two games. Oof. They gave up 5.2 yards a carry, 112 yards against the against the Jets on Sunday. To me, that is very concerning. I am concerned about that. I think it's a trend. I think other teams are going to try and do it. Sean McDermott sounded very concerned after the game about it, by the way. I'm upset, at least. Maybe not concerned. He was very upset about it after the game. This is what teams are going to do against the Bills. They're going to try and run the ball. Now, I will say, without Matt Milano and Jordan Poyer, I think that obviously matters a lot. I thought DeMar Hamlin actually played pretty well against the run. But Matt Milano, to me, Matt, they really miss him today. And yeah, this is no snide on Terrell Bernard, but he's a rookie. And Matt Milano's playing an all-pro level, and he would have really helped.
Yeah, for sure. I think he's maybe their most impactful guy. Besides Von Miller right now, he has been a freak. It's him and Jordan Poyer, and both of those guys weren't on the field. Same thing can be said about Jordan Poyer. There were a couple plays that were runs to the outside, whether it was Carter or Robinson, and Jaquan Johnson was pursuing, and either he over-pursued or he didn't make the tackle. And I'm thinking to myself, these 15-yard gains that the Jets are getting, those are 2 yard gains. Those are maybe even a couple yard losses, probably, with Jordan Poyer out on the field. The thing that is concerning to me is that the run defense has really struggled. And then the next 2 weeks, when you're trying to snap out of this, you get Dalvin Cook and then you get Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. So that's concerning, because those teams are going to try and come in here and say, okay, you're at home. We're going to try and keep the ball out of your offense's hands. We're going to try and just chew as much clock as possible. And those are running backs who can carry those crazy workloads. So I don't think it's going to be something that is a massive problem at the end of the year, but I think it's something they need to work through right now.
Yeah, the run defense wasn't very good, but the tackling wasn't very good either. When they had opportunities, Matt, it seemed like the tackling was not good. In fact, I will say, in the locker room after the game, lots of defenders talked about their issues tackling, which was interesting to me. So that came up from the players, that they felt they didn't tackle very well. And to me, it was not taking good angles, right? Getting there, just not being able to stop a guy when you had an opportunity, got a hand on him, didn't take a great angle. But the tackling was not particularly good in this game either.
No, and it just felt like the Bills should have had some sort of remedy to try and adjust to what the Jets were doing, and they couldn't. And I don't know if that's something that's solely on the players. Well, it's not solely on the players. It's something that the coaching staff probably should have been able to figure out, because the Jets were doing the same thing for most of the game. It was, let's try and run the ball. We're going to run these little 5, 6, 7 yard outs with Garrett Wilson. We're going to take a few shots. They did not try and stretch the field after their first drive of the game. They took a deep shot. It was incomplete. After that, it was all the same stuff, and the Bills just didn't have an answer to it. And I think they were okay with kind of letting the Jets slowly work their way down the field. But still, at the end of the day, I mean, I like I said, I think the offense deserves more of the blame, but I am surprised that this defense gave up 20 points to the Jets when you consider the other teams that they've held kind of around that number.
It wasn't the points that bothered me as much, like 20 points. I agree with you on that. I'll give you an example here, though. Tie game, 7:53 left. Jets got the ball at their own 4 yard line, Matt. They ran the ball 8 straight times and took 6:10 off the clock and covered 81 yards in 13 plays. The Bills buckled at the end, gave themselves an opportunity. But that was the concerning part. Like that was the formula. They knew where they were going to run. They knew what they were doing. They couldn't stop it. That's why, to me, it's not one blame, no blame. It's everybody has a hand in it. I think Josh Allen, I agree with you, if he plays better, they probably win this game. And, you know, they're not, and the Jets can't even, they have to get out of that run game late, right? Because the Jets would be chasing. But that was concerning. I didn't think they got enough from their interior defensive front. We talked so much about them, but they weren't very good against the run. In fact, I looked, I think they only had a total of like 5 or 6 sacks amongst all of the players up in that area. So there was a lot of blame, as you say, to go around in this game, no doubt. And even in the kicking game, Tyler Bass missed a field goal. That's going to happen. It was a long field goal. He also kicked a ball out of bounds that gave the Jets the ball at the 40-yard line. Now, I understand that they didn't score on that drive, but that was the drive. I think Von Miller had the sack, and there was a fumble. But it just goes to show you that everybody seemed like they were off and didn't have their A game in this one, because Tyler Bass is usually a lot more reliable and consistent.
Yeah, there were just something. It was, and like I said, I was watching the game on television, but from the entire game, it just felt like something was off about the Bills. And I don't exactly know what to pinpoint it down to. I tweeted that there were some similarities between the Jacksonville game last year, just kind of like the vibes, and it just didn't feel like right for some reason. And I know that that's a lot different of a case, and the Jags last year were a much worse team than the Jets are. I'm going to try and be a little glass half full here, which is tough because I'm almost just negative by nature, but we look at the two games.
No, you're not, by the way. That is, you're not at all.
I'm not like overly negative. I just kind of always assume that things are, you know what I mean? I'm like very,
you're always kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop maybe sometimes.
Yeah, kind of always. I mean, they've lost two games. They're still 6-2.
Yep.
And the two games that they've lost, they probably could have won against teams that are pretty good. That's the thing. These teams are 6-3. I think the AFC East is the best division in football right now. So these teams are beating up on each other. It's not going to be a cakewalk from here on out. I think the Bills are going to right the ship a little bit here. But yeah, I mean, I do think it says something that you can have six really bad quarters of football and still beat the Packers and then still probably should beat the Jets. I'm not giving excuses or anything like that. They needed to win this game. They should have won this game. They're going to regret not winning this game potentially down the road, but maybe the Jets are pretty good.
Maybe we'll see. I mean, they do. By the way, that was the other thing some players said. Well, we'll see them again in a few weeks. They'll see Miami. They'll see them. But now you have two division games on the road that you've lost. And that's just putting them behind the eight ball. Let's talk about where this puts the Bills in the big picture in the AFC.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So as we're recording the podcast, we've got the Titans-Chiefs game on in the background. I think the Chiefs are going to win. I don't know what's going to happen. I just assume that the Chiefs are going to win. Regardless of what happens in this game, the Bills will still be in first place in the AFC.
Are you watching the game as you talk to me? Because I'm watching it.
So I was, and then I walked into a different room, so it would try and be a little bit more quiet. I know it's 9-7 right now, but it looks like the Titans are about to score again.
They're at the Derrick Henry ripped off like a 60-yard run and got down, and then now they're at the 1-yard line again. So as we're talking, everybody's going to know what happened after this. It's just kind of funny. We're doing this in real time, so we know. I'm keeping an eye on it as we talk here because of what you said. It's a very important game in the AFC.
It is, but for the Bills' sake, obviously, we've talked a lot about kind of the division and what happens next. Like I said, no matter what, the Titans or the Chiefs, whoever wins, will elevate themselves to 6-2. The Bills will have the tiebreaker because they have wins against both of those teams. And, excuse me, they've got a win against the fourth place team in the conference, which is Baltimore. So they've beaten all of those teams at the top of the conference. They just can't beat anybody in their division right now. So we'll see what happens. I mean, the Bills, though, it was all about home field advantage, getting that first round bye. You lose the wiggle room now because, like, you know what I mean? Chances are you're not going to run the
because
table.
It doesn't matter who wins this game. You're only a half game up. You're only a half game up because you're both going to be 6-2 and you have the tiebreaker edge. As we watch it, without knowing, are you with me that you'd say you'd still rather see Tennessee win, though?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think so.
For the
Bills' purpose, I think almost anything is a win if you don't have to go to Arrowhead this year.
Yeah.
I know that you want everything going through you, but I think if you talk to most Bills fans right now and you were like, all right, you're on the road in the AFC Championship against insert team name here, if that team isn't the Kansas City Chiefs, I think most people are signing up for that. Do you agree?
100%. And I think that just knowing Kansas City, I think that if they creep to you, you only have to lose one game where they win one more, they overtake you. I think Bills fans would feel very nervous about that. Whereas Tennessee, you think at some point they're going to lose another game, right? Now, they were the number one seed in the AFC last year. They did get it to the wire. They got to the finish line. But without knowing that, I think it would still feel like Tennessee is going to drop something somewhere along the way. Whereas Kansas City may not, if they win this, like they could run the table. Like you just feel like that with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, right?
100%. So actually, as we were doing this, the Titans just took the lead. It's 14-9. I have the Chiefs' remaining schedule in front of me.
Yep.
So let's go over home against the Jags. Probably a win at the Chargers. Home against the Rams, at the Bengals, at the Broncos, at the Texans, home against the Seahawks, home against the Broncos, home against the Raiders. So if you're looking at those games,
that's tough to think about a lot of losses there. I will say this though.
Yeah.
We know the Chargers play them tough.
Always. And it's in LA. Not that I think that matters. Cause
we know the Raiders played them tough. Although the Raiders aren't that good. And Denver's offense is horrible, but at least they have a good enough defense to maybe slow them down. And you never know when you play a game like that.
So here's the Titans. I'm going to hop around a little bit, but after the Chiefs, they've got home against the Broncos. That's a win at the Packers. That's going to be a win, but then it's home against the Bengals, at the Eagles, home against the Jags, at the Chargers, home against the Texans, the Cowboys, home against the Cowboys, and then they close out at Jacksonville. So those teams have some really tough games left on their schedule. I think actually Tennessee's schedule is a little bit harder than the Chiefs one, but I think it's funny because if you looked at the Bills' schedule right now and you just look at the Bills' remaining schedule, it's a lot harder than we thought it was going to be. I mean, just look at these teams. The Vikings are 7-1. The Browns are a better team than they get credit for. You should probably beat the Lions. You should probably beat the Patriots, but we just watched them lose to the Jets. You've got the Jets again, the Dolphins, the Bears, who gave Miami a battle today, the Bengals. So like the Bills' remaining schedule, what's the over-under on wins, you think, for the Bills' remaining schedule?
Well, they're going to be favorites still in every game. I think they're already like over 8-point favorites at home against Minnesota, believe it or
they're
not.
They're nine-point favorites at home against Minnesota.
I mean, the over-under on their remaining schedule.
They should still win.
Let's see how they. What's wild is you think about this. They're still not even halfway through their season.
Yeah, they have nine games left. Nine games left on the schedule. The schedule still sets up well for them. Would you sign up for seven wins?
Sign up for seven wins. I think I would. I think that would mean because what that meant would mean is
13-4.
Right, but what that would mean is all you would well you'd have to have. One of these teams who loses tonight that we're recording this lose one more game and you're okay on them.
Uh-huh.
And the other team that wins lose two more games. I'll take my chances. I think I would too.
I think that that's a realistic.
You're not losing the division if you get to there.
Absolutely not. No, you're playing home playoff games. If you get to 13 wins without question, what do you think should be the line for nine games left? You think like 6.5 over under six?
Probably
and a half.
6.5 because I think you have to take into account what happens at the end of the year if they're, you know, if they have anything sealed up and you never know, right? You never know with that. But I do think like, hey, this is a big game against Minnesota coming up. This Minnesota team now 7-1, the Bills 6-2. We could talk about that on the next pod for sure when we get into it a little bit. But around the league on Sunday, Miami, they go to Chicago. I thought I was kind of keeping an eye on that game. I don't know if you watched any of it from where you were, but Justin Fields looked great, but I really thought maybe the Bears would do the Bills a favor and beat the Miami Dolphins, but obviously the Dolphins wound up pulling it out in the end.
You can't see, if you're listening to this, you can't see us, but the Titans just sacked Mahomes to force 4th-and-14, and now Kansas City's going to punt.
Telling you, I mean, this is going to be an interesting game. I Tennessee's wild, man. It's just with Malik Willis, right? I mean, who knows? But the Bears thought they were going to do a favor for the Bills. They did.
Yeah, that was a great. They played great. They might be a lot better than people thought. Justin Fields looks like a cheat code.
Yeah. I was going to trade him in fantasy, but I didn't. I'm glad I held on to him. He had 41 points for me this week.
I played against him in fantasy. He had 51 points in my league, which was great. Awesome. Really cool.
All right, well, but let's talk about the Bills big picture and where they go from here. You said, and I agree, you know, no panic, no worry necessarily, right? But Matt, I mean, they got to get back to work. I mean, this is six quarters in a row, I'd say, where this was not the same Buffalo Bills team that we know. And, you know, they have to, whatever is ailing them, like it's got to get fixed pretty quickly here against two very solid teams they're playing coming up.
Yeah, we need to see the offense reemerge itself as just a dynamic passing offense where that's their bread and butter. That's their identity. They need to be okay leaning into that. I think one of the reasons you knew something was off today was because how often Josh Allen was looking to run the ball. That feels like Josh Allen's like way out of something when it feels like he needs to create and he just thinks he needs to go out there and make a play because he doesn't trust what his receivers are giving him. He doesn't trust what the defenses are giving him. So I think it needs to be one of those games where you just go out there and you're methodical and you're moving the ball. And honestly, we haven't seen that a lot since the beginning of the season. We saw it against the Rams. We saw it against the Titans. Then after that, Miami was a wash. I don't even think that game really counts when we're talking about anything, not because they lost, but just because all the players that were going down and all the players that were injured and all that stuff, they did it in the second half against the Ravens. Oh, I guess they kind of did it against the Steelers too. They dominated that game as well. So yeah, maybe it hasn't been that long, but let's see this team go back out there and just start throwing haymakers because they're capable of it.
Well, we have a, by the way, did you get your extra hour of sleep? Was that okay? How did everything go for you this weekend?
You know what, Sal? You ever played Call of Duty?
No, I've never played Call of Duty.
I'm terrible at it, but I got I still play. Because it's nice bonding with your friends. So I got home on Saturday. I was because I didn't go to the game, I had to work Saturday and Sunday night at Channel 7. So you work until basically midnight. So I got home, but all my friends were still playing Xbox. So I was like, oh, I'll go on. And then before you know it, it's 2 in the morning. And you're like, okay, well, that's fine. We get an extra hour of sleep. Well, then I woke up and I didn't fall back asleep. So I am feeling it. I've been drinking plenty of coffee right now. Although I can't complain because you've already been in New York City and then flown back and did that whole spiel today.
I did. Yeah. In fact, though, the extra hour sleep actually was really nice because we went into the city, myself, Bill Whippard, who's the team photographer for the Bills and Sabres, a few extra people, other people we work with on the sidelines, some photog people and helpers. We went into the city and we had a nice Italian dinner, Italian restaurant, and then got back and it's like, oh, it's 11 o'clock. Oh no, it's not. It's only 10 o'clock, which is really nice. You know what I mean? And then, but I got to bed and I still woke up at 6:30, which would normally be 7:30, but it was nice. I woke up at 6:30. I'm like, oh, that's really early. And I'm like, yeah, but I feel good. So, you know, it was nice tonight. It was a nice weekend. Unfortunately, didn't end well, for the Buffalo Bills. All right, Matt. So, what do you got going on this week? You're going to be, you're still going to be in, are you coming out there? You're going to be at the stadium? You're going to be covering the home game on Sunday?
Yeah, so my plan is to do everything kind of back to normal this week. Now that the cast is off the foot, I kind of have I have a walking boot. Yeah, feeling a lot better. So I've got a walking boot now, so my mobility is back, which is really, really nice. This is going to be a weird week because in my position, you kind of balance the Bills and also the Sabres. So I'll be at Bills practice every single day this week, except Friday. Because I think on Thursday, I'm going to double dip. I think I'm going to go to Bills. But then Thursday night is the Vegas Golden Knights back in Buffalo that time. And the last time that we went to that game, we had the viral clip of Jack Eichel with the,
Oh, there you go.
Really?
That should be fun.
So I don't think that I really should miss that one. So yeah, I'll be around the facility all week. I think there's a lot of storylines this week because you have Stefon Diggs' first game against the Minnesota Vikings since they traded him. And I know it's been a long time, but I'm sure he's going to be extra juiced up this week. You've got James Cook going against Dalvin Cook, his brother, this week. So that'll be a fun little storyline. I would imagine Tre'Davious White is probably, I don't know if he's going to definitely play, but I would think his chances of playing next week are a lot better than they were of playing today. And also, excuse me, I think that next week we'll probably see a full workload of Nyheim Hines. This week was just kind of the punts and I think a couple plays. So I think there's a lot of storylines this week that go into it. And the Vikings are 7-1.
Should be a fun week. Keep it locked here for another podcast, wherever you pod, download it, subscribe to it, iTunes, Spotify, wherever that is. It's always game day in Buffalo. And of course, follow Matt on Twitter at Matt_Bove. He's on channel 7 WKBW TV in Buffalo. I'm on WGR Sports Radio 550 at Sal Sports on Twitter as well. All right. We're going to bow out on this one. We'll be back for a preview of the Minnesota Vikings later in the week. Thanks for listening.